wake up now. Fred Bell and the new song, but it's called Ride the Wind. Welcome to our show. It's November 11th, like September 11th, but many years since 2010. We have our sidekick, Buddy Bird, and of course, his sidekick, Buddy Bird's sidekick, Steve Barish. Well, Steve Barish, how are you out? How do you feel tonight? Cobra-less, because you parked.
Well, it's actually beautiful weather here, but I put it away a week ago.
You get it out again?
No. It's in with about 75 other cars.
Did I tell you I bought a 58 Chevy and it's sitting in the driveway?
It is sitting in the driveway.
Yeah, I have a beautiful 58 Chevy. It's a show car. You can put a mirror under it, and it looks as pretty underneath as it does on top. I've got pictures of it on front covers of magazines, but it's got a 327 in it, but I'm going to rip it out and put a 409 in it.
Wow.
Yes, I've got to put a 409 in that baby.
Dual quads?
Of course. A 425 horse, baby.
Yeah.
If I could find a Z11, I would put that in.
Boy, I'll tell you, Z11s are worth a lot of money now.
Yep. And I sure shouldn't have sold mine, but who the hell knew back in the 60s, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Now, the 409s go on eBay for like, you know, $5,000-$6,000, you know, for a decent one. I'm just going to build my own. I'm going to build
a bad-ass
409 and stick it in my 58 Chevy and go low riding. It's got a 411 rear end, a 3-speed transmission with an overdrive, so that's all I need.
That's it.
And we're out here, and you haven't been to Temecula yet, but two or three times a year we have these car shows, and people come from all over Southern California, even Arizona, show their cars in Old Town. Old Town is like an area that... like an old cowboy town. It's about a mile long, and it's just beautiful. These old buildings and everything, like Arizona.
Right.
Oh, man, and the old bars and the old this, and the music's playing. Right now it's decorated out in Christmas. It's so cool. I love
Old
Town. I just found my heaven out here in Del Rey. I mean, Temecula and Duluth, where we live. So anyway, how's it going back there?
Doing pretty good. I have both my projector and my nuclear receptor on. I talked to somebody, was it yesterday? I think yesterday. Yeah, I got my Shaolutsi. That's good stuff.
Yeah, you got the video on.
Yeah.
I'm cranking my bottle for the evening, yeah. It's a brand new bottle. By the way, a virgin bottle.
Hey, good. I got two bottles left, and that's all I got.
Oh, time to order.
Yeah.
You should get a whole case.
I'll think about that.
You to buy a case and sell them, you know, it's like nothing. We'll give you an extra discount or something. I don't know if you pay for it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I have to have Shaolutsi every day.
Yeah, it's good
number
stuff.
One, it gives you a great bowel movement. It allows your digestive tract to work really well.
Uh-huh.
On top of that, you feel good all day, and there's no coming down from it. You know, you just sleep at night.
Good stuff.
A beautiful, heavenly, golden glow.
Yep, good stuff.
Yeah.
I think we need to give out the phone numbers here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. To get in touch with Dr. Bell and I, the phone number is 888-815-9756. I'll say it again, 888-815-9756 and 1-530-327-7602. Again, 1-530-327-7602. So hopefully we'll get some phone calls tonight.
I've had a few networks try to pirate me, you know. They don't realize that I'm a part owner of BBS Radio, but I've gotten some other networks want me to do shows with them and stuff.
Wonderful.
I don't mind doing shows with other networks, but they got to understand the parameters of how we do the shows, because I always take my sidekick, and it cannot conflict with BBSRadio.com. Now, what I want to bring up, first order of business tonight, is that on eBay, we're starting to have a higher presence now, either Dr. Fred Bell or Pyridine. And what I've seen on eBay is several of our, you know, there's like probably right now there was a solid gold receptor for $7,500 starting price up there last week. There was several of our $160 receptors, which we no longer produce, for $100. And I just want to let people know, go ahead and buy that stuff, but it's the old design. When we looked at the $7,500 solid gold projector, we noticed that it was the old design with not the good geometry. And that would probably be a fair price for that piece. I mean, he didn't sell it for that because he didn't even sell it because people don't realize. I think his name was Abe Books or something, but people don't realize that in order to have a piece like that, you need to know what you're buying, because it's like you don't go out and buy a car without a driver's license. You don't go out and buy a jet plane with no pilot's license, and that's what's happening out there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we have one of our listeners, Dennis, I won't give his last name, has sold some product to this lady in Australia. I don't know how that happened. And then she sends me emails, I'm not getting results with my projector or whatever, and I says, you can buy one from us. Oh, yeah, and I bought this one from blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I said, look, sweetheart, what else did you buy? And well, she bought a receptor and projector, but she doesn't have a star orb, doesn't have a standalone.
Right.
Doesn't know how to wear them. She hasn't been counseled on, because you just don't stick the stuff on you. And I said, call Steve Barish for some counseling. I don't know if she's called you or not, but, you know, the bottom line is our stuff is getting out there. Some of our distributors are throwing it on eBay, which is fine, because that means we have a brand, which is good. But people have to realize you don't just go out and buy this stuff without realizing what you're getting, and that we sell each piece to that person.
Right.
You know, if you're a distributor, we don't do that. But we teach you how, as a distributor, to qualify people that you sell the pieces to. And so that's what we're running into. Now, it's a great problem. It's a growth problem. I love having this problem, but the bottom line is, it's a problem, you know? Not
yes.
for me, but for people out there, because, you know, you don't set up, you know, a quad system or, you know, or even one of our irradiator systems or any of our stuff without a star orb. I'm sorry. If you do that, you will be upside down in a minute, and I can see by the emails these people send me, you know, after I tell them that they need to do this and this, then the emails either stop or get real crazy. I remember I had a lady down in Tennessee. She spent like $10,000 or $12,000 in there. Bought everything, you know, the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
She called in on the show one night. I don't know if it was on Art Bell or here. She called in. She didn't have a star orb. And she bought all the stuff from me, but I said, you got to have a star orb. She had four, you know, standalone. And she was probably floating on her roof. She was incoherent. She was babbling. I said, this is what this will do to you. It will affect certain humans because they're getting quantumly entangled, you know, to things that they wish for, but they don't have a grounding. You got to have a feedback, you know.
Right.
Like if you're riding a horse after a cow and you got a lariat and you're whipping it around and you're roping the cow, you put the rope around the saddle horn on your saddle and the horse is trained, it's the quarter horse, to pull that cow down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a star orb is. You know, the lariat is a standalone. And I'm just telling people, you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this poor lady was upside down, so we sent her a star orb.
Right.
A week later, she was fine. And she didn't even remember being so crazy for almost a month. Yeah.
Well, people are not aware of you need to buy a nuclear receptor before you can even buy a projector. I mean, people have to be clear, their minds have to be very clear before they can even think about a projector. So they hear this all the time on the radio, but sometimes they get a little fast. They want to get a projector. They want to wear a projector, and they get themselves in trouble. Can't do that. You got to start with a nuclear receptor and work your way up, or buy the new receptor. But you got to start slow. You got to crawl before you walk.
You know, people. What I realize when I think about this is that people don't. They look at our designs, which are patented and copyrighted, right? We have patents,
right.
Copyrights on everything. Copyrights don't expire.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at that, oh, yeah, I can make that. Well, I don't think so. If you have the curvature, yeah, you could take one of our pieces and copy it, but then we send the FBI to your door. But the
right.
bottom line is that you look at the geometry, you're looking at a 52-degree angled pyramid split down the middle on a geometric concave surface in a focal pattern. You follow me?
Yes.
And if you look at your own DNA, and if you look at the atomical structure of your DNA, you'll see the same patterns in your DNA and the atomic structure of your cells that you see on a receptor.
Right.
But what happens is when people get messed up or screwed up, meaning that they don't eat right, don't exercise right, get in contact with viruses, germs, food poisoning, whatever, but the geometry of the DNA goes askew. And if the geometry of the DNA goes askew, then they have health problems. You know, even if it's, you know, the first thing that happens is they feel nothing. Second thing that happens is their attention span drops. Third thing is depression, paranoia. It goes on and on and on. You follow
right.
me?
Right.
And so when you realize that the devices that we make take all the electromagnetic spectrum that is shot around everywhere all through the world today, from satellites to taxicabs, you know, our cell phone communication devices, we take that energy, and it's all bouncing off your whole body. But
mm-hmm.
when it finds that grid that you're wearing, that receptor projector, it hits that grid, eventually hits that grid, then quantumly it calms your entire body.
Yes.
It will find that. It will find that sweet spot, which is what you're wearing, and everything's cool. You know, this is like back in the military when we were developing stealth technology, like the F-117. Okay,
mm-hmm.
if you have a radar beam coming at that puppy, and it's not exactly the right shape, it reflects a signal back, and, oh, there's a goddamn airplane. You follow me?
Right.
But the same thing with you. All this stuff's coming at you like radar, and it's hitting your body, and you don't have these devices on, it sticks to your body. If you have these devices on, it reflects it back, and you're not harmed. But if you have the wrong frequencies, for example, if you have a receptor on and you really need an emerald and you're wearing a diamond,
yeah,
that it's not tuned to you. You know, whenever a stealth fighter or a B-2 bomber is flying and it sees certain signals come in and reflects them back, it also adjusts an auric frequency or a grid around its own, you know, surfaces to
right.
compensate and feed that even more to make itself
right.
more invisible. Once it identifies it's been hit by some radiation, it tunes to that and neutralizes it more and more. You follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wrote about that in my book, Raise the Truth, which
right.
was in Aviation News magazine,
right.
which is a big hit, you know, a big, you know, aerospace thing. And the same thing with our devices. You don't wear the wrong one. And when people buy stuff on eBay or buy it from somebody that, you know, is second-handing it down, it usually is not a good idea.
No.
Just so I get
no.
that point across to the listeners out there.
And well, I think
more of that now.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that, number one, it has their energy in it.
Well, and their energy is not like, you know, a magnet. You know, it's not like a piece of chocolate that you dropped a raisin in, and that's the energy of the raisin in the chocolate. It isn't like that. It's the frequency of the
right.
person that was wearing it is not the same frequency of the person that needs it.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't
right.
put your energy into something what we make and it goes to somebody else. What happens is you have a piece of our stuff we make. It's the energy for that person, and then if that other person gets it, it doesn't work for them. The energy doesn't shift because it was designed for that person.
Right, because you don't wear a diamond if you need a blue sapphire.
Right. And, you know, it's not like if you wear one of our pyramids and then you put it on somebody else's head, your vibe is in it. It's not true. The pyramid is not a tuned device to a frequency. The pyramid is tuned to a pyramid. It works on a ELF frequency, ELF frequency, but a biofeedback frequency somewhere between between 2 and 18 hertz puts you in alpha, and it will do that for anybody. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter who wears the pyramid. You could hand it out to 1,000 people, nobody's affected. But when you get into a receptor or a projector that has the right stone, and then blah blah blah, all the stuff we do to them, then it's a different deal.
Right.
Yeah. I just want everybody out there to realize that, because I'm getting some weird emails that people don't understand. Because some people out there decide to sell their stuff or whatever, for whatever reason, and buy, you know, usually they're up. Usually what I'm seeing on eBay is someone has upgraded.
Hello?
Hello?
Somebody's on the
phone.
Hi,
Steve.
Fred.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Bell.
Hi, who are you?
Adriano from Rhode Island.
Oh, how's Rhode Island? Yeah, that's pretty. You're a new caller then.
No, been a while. I don't call, but I've been listening to you for a long time.
How's Rhode Island tonight? Is it warm out there? Sun shining and everything, or what?
Yeah, it's getting a little colder now.
Yeah, that's a beautiful place where you live.
Yeah, I have a nuclear receptor. I've been wearing it for a few years now, but now I have a diamond on it. I just wanted to know if it's a time to change for a different stone.
I don't know. Ask Steve. What do you think?
You're wearing a diamond that's about as high as you can go. The next step would be to buy a new receptor that Fred has out, like the Negotiator. There's a lot of things. Have you looked at his on his email at all for the new Paradigm Professional Receptors? There's a Negotiator. There's an Ankh. There's a lot of stuff that he has out now.
Yeah, we got a lot of new stuff. Yeah, you're like one of these people. What's happened is when you get up to the diamond, you've like got to the crown chakra, and now we have a kind of a thing. It's kind of a cross between a projector and a receptor. And that's called the Ankh, the heart chakra, and all these new ones. We got 4 new ones. And so it's probably time for you to make a transition to the new stuff. Because the diamond, obviously, that's crown chakra. That's pretty heavy stuff.
Yes, it is.
And if you've been wearing that for a while, it's time to completely switch out your entire unit and get a whole new one.
I've been wearing more than a year now.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. It's been a while I don't listen to your shows. You change. I used to listen on Fridays, on Saturdays. When you change on Thursdays, because I work nights sometimes, I don't have a time to catch the show.
I've
been listening to you for years now.
Are you glad we're on Thursdays? That seems to work for us.
Well, for me, Thursdays sometimes it's kind of... because I work nights, sometimes I don't get to listen to you.
Yeah. Do you have a cell phone?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're on cell phone, too.
Oh.
Yeah, we're on cell phone. You'd have to call VBS Radio to tell you how to do your cell phone, but we're on cell phones now.
Okay, all right.
And you can listen to it at work. What do you do, anyway?
Well, I work at a factory.
Yeah.
I do, we build high-power cables.
Yeah.
Submarine cables and bridge cables, all this for the Navy and.
Oh, okay. So you're a government GAO supplier. I was over at Rockwell, we used to make a lot of cables. I had a whole division that I used to have lots of girls working for me. We made all kinds of cables. But I had to go take a cable class myself and get because you just don't, if you want to splice a cable to another cable, you have to learn how to just like. Trim the covering around it and not cut the wire. That's about a year course just to handle cables. So I understand. Okay. And if you're doing submarines and all that, that's pretty critical stuff.
Yes, we do build for that kind of.
Yeah.
The new ones they're building now.
Yeah, people don't realize that, you know, You know, when we were working on cables for the Apollo and the Saturn, if somebody put a scratch on the cable, just a scratch, while they're hooking it to a like a device, like a capacitor or IC board, or, you know, that cable, that whole piece would be scrapped.
Yeah,
people don't realize it's scratching the cable. That's a very, you know, that's really cool. That's very
critical jobs.
Yeah, it's a communication. People don't realize, you know, how critical cabling is, because if it goes bad, because everything like airplanes and even cars fly by wire. The wire is the cable.
Yeah.
The cable fails,
yes.
Plane crashes, people die. So, you know, you've got a very, very powerful, you know, responsibility, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at your website, see what you, with the new stuff, because I'm not familiar with new stuff. It's been a while.
Well, we got a lot of new stuff, and we're upgrading the website. And then just give Mikel a call, and if you want a payment plan for something, we have all that too, you know.
Okay.
We do all our own financing, and we help people out. Because our goal is to get people to use our things and have an experience and to make their lives better and their kids' lives better. Do you have kids?
Okay.
Do you have children?
Yep.
Cool.
Yes,
how old are they?
The youngest is just turning 12 this week, next week, I mean. And another is 20 and 25.
Okay, now the 35, is that a girl or a boy?
No, 25. They're all girls. I don't have no boys.
All girls, okay, because I had three girls. I have one that's 30, 25, and 23 now.
Okay.
So are they a handful?
Yeah. The middle one is kind of...
Do they judge
the middle one.
Dad?
The middle one is more.
Do they judge Dad at all?
I can't hear.
Do they judge you? You know, are they critical of some of the things you do and say?
Yeah, they say, oh, Daddy, leave me.
Yeah, I know. I'm on the same page.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Isn't it great to have kids like that?
Yeah, they... I mean, I love them.
Yeah, I love mine, too. They're all crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what they think about us, by the way.
Yes. New generation.
That's... Yeah, and that's probably what we thought about our parents at some point in time. Well, I really
thank you
for calling in.
Okay, thank you, too, for all you're doing for us.
Oh, well, thank you for, you know, being part of, you know, what I'm supposed to do it for.
Okay. And thank you, Steve, too.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too.
Night.
Hey, Steve, isn't it great to have listeners like that?
Oh, yeah.
That's why we do these shows, isn't it?
Yep.
Like that. See, he's got three daughters. He's got the same problems I've had with mine. And you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know? God bless him.
Yeah.
So today was Veterans Day, and I'm a veteran from the not from Vietnam, but the Cuban crisis.
Huh.
So we were actually in military action back, I think it was 1960 or 61, when we laid a thing against Russia that we were going to launch nuclear weapons if they didn't pull the
nukes
out of Cuba. We were on high alert for several weeks, and I was right in the middle of that. That gave me veteran status.
Wow.
Yeah, because had we gone to war, I'd have been on the front lines of the Air Force launching the missiles.
Wow.
I'd have been a target, yeah.
My brother was a sergeant at Pope Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a gentleman who came in one day and said that he had was taking care years ago of the line of the planes that had hydrogen bombs in them getting ready to go to Shuatsu, yeah. And they were in line waiting to take off. He said the pilots were crying.
When I bought this 58 Chevy, check this out.
Yeah.
I just bought the show cars in the front cover of magazine. And the guy I bought it from, I won't mention his name, he's a doctor. He was a pilot back in a few years ago, and he was a refueling guy for SR-71.
Wow.
Biplane.
Yeah.
And his name is, I'll say his first name is Jeff. And I bought this car from him. You don't think that we've not had some amazing conversations of a navigator pilot that used to refuel SR-71 CIA spy plane, top of the world plane.
Yeah.
Many years.
Wow.
Yeah. Had some. These conversations have continued up to last week.
Wow.
You know, nothing classified, but thrillers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Yes.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Very good. Thank you. Here's Fred. I'll let you talk to him.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Bell. This is Chester from Maryland.
Hi, Chester Maryland.
I had some questions, some strange questions. I don't know. It's stuff that I was thinking about.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who else to ask but Dr. Bell. And it's about the Einstein equation, E equals MC squared.
Right.
I understand that when matter vibrates at the speed of light, it turns into energy.
Well, it doesn't vibrate. Okay. It accelerates.
Accelerates, okay.
And by acceleration, it means that you shine a flashlight, you follow me, and that's acceleration. Or you're in a nuclear accelerator, and you've got these grids and these magnetrons that fluctuate and cause a down a passageway, like a linear accelerator, to move a particle towards the speed of light. So you can accelerate like a deuteron, which would be a hydrogen particle, towards the speed of light. Okay, now what's your next question? Go ahead.
Well, okay, yeah. What happens when it goes faster than, like, what happens to the left side of the equation if the right side of the equation goes faster than MC squared?
Okay, this is how the equation works. Okay, and then actually a Planck, yeah, after that you'd have to take a Planck constant, and then you have to go into Michio Kaku's and Leonard Susskind's, physics of string theory to understand this. But in layman's terms, without the math, is what happens is when you accelerate something towards the speed of light, if it increases to what physics calls on V squared, infinite mass. You follow me? Meaning that you would not see it as an infinite mass unless you tried to push a force on it from the top or the bottom or the left or the right. You follow what I'm saying? As long as you don't put a force on it to deviate it from its course, then there's no force involved. It's just the mass. The mass part of the equation is if you put a force on it to deviate it from its course. Do you understand that?
I think.
Okay.
I think so.
In other words, if you don't mess with it, even though the mass is increasing to infinity, it doesn't mean anything. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is, as it reaches the speed of light, then what happens is, the mass is so great that it creates what's called a wormhole or a black hole. You follow me?
Right,
and
okay.
That black hole then allows it to go to Planck length, which is smaller than the smallest thing that we would call cosmic foam that exists before the Big Bang, okay? So it reduces itself down to a particle of the size of just at the Big Bang, and that's a Planck particle, Planck length, okay?
Okay.
So what happens is what Einstein is really saying is that anything that goes towards the speed of light goes into a black hole, because that's what a black hole is. You understand that part?
Okay.
In simple terms, it goes to a black hole. And in a black hole, it goes to a transition. And it's basically the same thing as when a human being leaves their body. They go to the astral plane. And when you accelerate a particle up into a Planck length and beyond, which is the speed of light, c squared, then what happens is you're going into another dimension. Now, when you go into another dimension, there is no existence anymore. So one of two things happens. One, the energy, because it's now, it's just pure energy, goes back down and comes out through plants and, making chromosomes and all of that, because that's where that energy comes from, because your chromosomes are not present during the mitosis process of the body, which does reproduction. They're not. Chromosomes have to be there for your body to make cells. Most of the time, a lot of times they're not. And if your body's not in tune and you're an unhealthy person, the chromosomes aren't there enough to create the right amount of cell reproduction So you start to age very fast. That's why you see people at young, you know, young people looking very old. That's one area where the energy goes. The other area where the energy goes is towards the creation of a pathway for human beings to have experiences. So that's called the astral plane. That's not
that
a given.
Would that be,
you follow what I'm saying?
Would that be consciousness?
What?
Would that be consciousness?
It is. It's all consciousness.
Okay.
Everything is consciousness. But I'm just telling you from a human ego standpoint how this works.
Gotcha.
You follow what I'm saying? And if it goes into the astral world, okay, then how does that affect you? Well, that affects you like this. You have a family. You live at home with your wife. You're single, whatever. Got a family. Got a job. Have ideas. You want to make your life better. Okay, certain opportunities present themselves to you, and you exercise these different opportunities to go in different paths. Okay, that's the astral plane. It's saying that these paths are available. So when a black hole evaporates with this energy, it gives you the choice of these different paths. Meanwhile, the back end of the feedback end of that black hole is feeding your cellular structure to give you the health, energy, and vitality you need to go on these paths. You follow what I'm saying?
I think so.
Well, where am I losing you?
No, I'm just following you. I'm just processing it, but go ahead.
So, well, energy cannot be created or destroyed, okay?
Right.
So humans are the controllers of energy. You know, you control the black hole, whether it's in your backyard or it's out in space. It doesn't matter. You control it because you created it. But you don't realize that maybe now because you're locked down in this ego body that we're all in now. But when you get more expanded, you realize that you control it. That's why when we got into quantum devices, the projector and the things that we make at Paradigm, we allow people to actually touch upon the face or the experience of controlling a black hole. You can look at it in physics, and we can show that in physics. You know, that's why I have Michio Kaku and other people on my program when I'm choosing to have, you know, those kinds of people on my program. Right now, we don't choose to have them because we need to explain all this stuff and people understand it before we bring the heavies back in. And that's why we haven't had them on for a year or two. Because there's such a growing process that's going on right now. But when you understand this, you're not afraid of polar shift. You're not afraid of this. You're not afraid of that. Because it takes away fear because you have control. But it takes time for people to realize what the control is. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay.
Well, you sort of following it.
Yeah, I'll listen
book,
to it again and get
my book
more
Inside Track?
I have it, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The very back end of it, there's some of that stuff. All I did was lay out a precipice of that in the back end. I'm not going to write another book on this conversation, but it would have made a book because questions like you calling in and me answering them gives me the fodder for the future of writing a book where I don't have to write about politics and blah, 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 because that was a book of politics. I want to write a book on physics, which I haven't written yet, but I want to make sure everybody understands it before I write it. You know what I mean? So I'll have probably Leonard Susskind or somebody else be a co-writer, somebody in the string theory. I have one of those folks co-write it with me. So, but I'm trying to, on these shows, when you people like you call in, which are very special, ask these very cool questions, I'm trying to give you answers, and if I can't give you the answer that you understand, I'm not ready to write a book about it. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because I'm not there yet. You're there, but I'm not.
Okay, I hear you.
But thanks for the motivation.
I got another question about Pleiadians and humans. Actually, I just thought about, I was listening to a video on about, I don't know if you've ever heard of Stuart Swerdlow.
I've heard of him.
Okay. I was listening to him, and he was talking about the pineal gland, and it just made me wonder about Pleiadians and human brains. I know this is an odd question, but how different would a Pleiadian brain be to a human brain? Like, would the pineal gland be much bigger?
If you take a person, a human, that is greedy, uptight, and look at their pineal gland after death. It's calcified. Follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, in people that don't have the higher path as their focus and end up calcifying their pineal glands, they will have a heart attack or a stroke. That's what happens, okay? Because mm-hmm. pineal gland directs the intelligence of the DNA reproductive cycle to the critical organs in the body. Follow me? That's how it works. Now, with a Pleiadian... Yeah, the Pleiadians, they have a pineal gland, but they have the ability to produce what's called an externalization of it because they're not dealing with a conflict of greed or misunderstanding or immune system deficiencies to disease. They don't have that problem. So their society has realized what I'm saying about that, and as overall, they teach it in their schools, risen above it. Their challenge is to manifest the divinity part of the pineal gland, which humans get a glimpse of and they live in. You follow me? So their karma...
When they what?
They live in the divinity of the... they live in the divinity of the pineal gland because, you know, like people take LSD, right? Okay, LSD uh-huh. displaces serotonin in a nice way. The serotonin is usually full of crap. So they have a godlike experience. But when the drug wears off, they're back to who they are. Or if the drug wears off and they were really screwed up karmically, they don't come back at all. They're just spaced out, one or the other.
Okay.
Pleiadian is naturally, you could say, spaced out in a good way. They don't need to take acid. They're on acid from our standpoint. Follow me on LSD. So they're working...
I wish I was.
Yeah, I know. But they're working with that divinity that they are naturally endowed with, and they have schools. They go to school for 120 years, and they have the equivalent of four or five PhDs when they graduate, okay? So that allows them to live at a little bit different frequency about the pineal gland than we do, more like angels and bees and things of, you know, things that go on at a higher level. I wrote about that in my Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light book, if you want to learn a lot about the bee kingdom and how that works with Pleiadian.
Yeah, I've got it right in front of me.
Okay, yeah. You get the picture now?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. If you don't, let me know.
Okay. I don't know if we have time for another question. It's kind of another deep one.
We got 15.
It's about whenever you make a decision that makes another... reality or a different dimension.
Right. That's every decision.
So in your mind is making millions upon millions of decisions each minute.
Second.
Does that mean that there are pretty much millions upon millions of dimensions or realities going on around you each minute or each second?
Well, can I ask you a question? What brought
sure.
you to that question?
Just a lot of thinking, just a lot of wandering, I guess.
Okay, remember this, what the Tibetans say. The mind is a slayer of the real.
Okay.
You can come up, like in a nuclear experiment, when you're bombarding something with a cyclotron, there's a million ways you can do it. You can come up with a million results. But what you need to do in a cyclotron case is you're looking to create a element or an isotope. So you focus your thought process not off the infinity of what's available, but the focus your thought process to what you feel is necessary, and then everything falls into place. Yeah, shooting from the hip and doing random stuff, you know, it's like getting slapped in the face by somebody and you see sparks for a few minutes. It doesn't have enough energy to create any realities, and if you try to, you know, pursue these realities that aren't real, it'll just cause you to be spaced out. Follow me?
Yeah.
It's not where the universe is going. It's your freedom. That's why the Tibetans say the mind is the slayer of the real, and energy follows thought. When you get that into a thought form, and you keep focusing on it as a thought form, some result that you want, then the universe responds. That's the difference.
Okay.
Good question. Okay. What do you think about that?
I was going to say, if I'm doing work on somebody's heart, the realities of what I'm looking at are vast. I mean, it's a never-ending process looking at the center of the heart. So in other words, if you're looking at one reality, you're looking at all reality. And you really need to stay focused with it, but it's a lot of fun to do. So the more that you open up the heart, the more you see. So it's really fantastic to see and to look at that you're actually seeing so many different realities at one time. And you just stay focused. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the way that I look at different realities is, it's all universal. It's all love. That's the big thing. It's all love.
Okay. Gotcha. Awesome.
Yeah. It's really fantastic to do.
What kind of things do you do anyway? What's your life about?
Right now, I used to work for a hospice foundation.
Okay, that's a pretty heavy job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Far away to death. Hello.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And so what happened after that? How long did you work for a hospice group?
About 3 years.
Wow. What was your impression of it?
It was really not working for the hospice, but it was a foundation.
Uh-huh.
And we would help organizations get education for people who are in hospice care.
Okay, I got it.
So we didn't work with patients directly, but we helped the people that were.
Got it. Now, what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm in between jobs.
Oh, okay.
I got laid off.
So what are you trying to get? What kind of job are you looking for?
I'm looking for, office job with computers.
Have you got a projector?
Yeah. I've got, the projector, necklace, and standalones.
Well, then you got everything. You got a Star Orb?
Yes, I do, actually.
You got everything you need. All you got to do is focus your energy on what you better. First of all, number one, from what you're telling me, if you program what you just told me into a projector about getting a job, it would just be like a broad screen projection. You got to figure out exactly what you want to do. If you want to do office work, what do you want to work for? An attorney, a doctor, an accountant? You need to really, really, and I'm not saying you have to do this. This is what I would do. You need to focus then on what job you want and maybe even your pay schedule, maybe even your hours. Wear that projector until it happens, and it will happen really quick. Probably take 2 weeks.
Wow.
What do you say about that, Steve?
I think it might take a couple of weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, but you got to stay with it.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
You got to trust me. It will work. It will work. It works for me. I get running this company and using this thing, I'm blown away every day. I'm absolutely blown away myself. Because this is a hard habit device given to us by the Andromeda. And it will create a job for you real quick. It has to because of quantum entanglement. It has to. It has no choice.
Yeah.
But you have to be, you're sitting up on a stagecoach with say, 8 horses, taking you through the wilderness. You got to guide those horses or they're going to go off the cliff.
Okay.
That sounds to me like you haven't focused properly. And you got to wear that projector every day. Take it off at night, put it under your pillow, and wear it the next day. And call me in 2 weeks and tell me what kind of job you got.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Bell. It's great to talk to you and Steve.
That's great having you on. Well, Steve, what did you think, man?
That was a great phone call.
Guy's smart.
Yep.
He asked some good questions.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I hope. Did you understand what I was saying?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When he asked those questions on that magnitude, we're way into quantum mechanics with all this, and I can't start drawing out formulas. That's not going to work. So I have to describe, like, you know, I learned how to do this from Richard Feynman, who I met briefly up at, he was a great physicist, and he won a Nobel Peace Prize in 65.
Right.
For what our receptors are developed on, you know, it's just amazing. It's he was the quantum color quantum. This guy could see the quantum stuff in colors.
Yes.
We got it for QID, and it's like, man, poor guy though. He worked at Los Alamos, you know, along with Edward Teller and all those guys, and ended up later on in life, because they didn't have proper radiation shielding, with five types of cancer that killed him in 19.
Yeah.
What did he die? Like, God, that's such a waste. 79, somewhere around in there. Yeah, Richard Feynman. Look him up. He was the most amazing physicist. Well, he was one of my role models, obviously. I wrote about him in my book.
That's amazing, but
the questions he was asking were stuff that Feynman had, you know, in reading his autobiography, you know, his biography, actually, by his wife and his daughter. These questions crossed his mind in physics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was smart enough to, you know, be motivated. I mean, he used to, you know, his wife died. They made a movie out of it. His wife died when he was at Los Alamos. Okay, it was really sad. She died of a lung disease. But, you know, then later on, he did remarry, but he just never recovered from the loss of his wife. And they made a movie out of that.
Yeah.
Well, and then what happened was he was, you know, doing physics and that, and he started drinking to, you know, get rid of his sorrow of wife dying.
Mm-hmm.
And tuberculosis killed his wife, by the way. And so then he realized one day that this was messing up his physics. So he went sober after becoming a complete alcoholic, went totally sober, was working at Caltech. Then he was writing his formulas up in a bar, a strip club, in Pasadena. Oh, yeah, the strip club ended up getting closed down. He went to court to fight with the owner. But he was in a strip club, and some of his greatest work in QED, quantum electrodynamics, was done in a strip club, but he was sober.
Wow.
Yeah, Richard Feynman, one of my all-time heroes.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to get out of here, man. We're out of time. So put out some phone numbers, and we're out of here.
Yeah, my phone number is 585-746-8321. I'm more than happy to help you with any questions.
And our phone number over here is 1-800-729-2603. And you can Google Dr. Fred Bell at Dr. Fred Bell, period, in the Google search engine. And Teradyne.com will come up in the radio show. And all of you Ustreamers out there, we always got new ones every night. We are on www.bbsradio.com, 5 p.m. Pacific on Thursday. So with that, I guess we're getting ready to bug out. What do you think, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Too bad you can't drive that Cobra, man. You can have it.
Yeah, I'd love to drive it
for you, and then I can drive it for you. Drive the old 58.
That'd be fun to do.
Yeah. All right. You're out of here, man. Bye.
Take care, man.